one of the questions that most of them are going to answer. Some of them may just kind of give you a general testimony about what they experienced and everything and how God has been working in their heart because of it. But one of the questions that we got asked on the trip at the very beginning was, who is Jamaica to you? Not what is Jamaica to you, who is Jamaica to you? In other words, who are you going to associate with Jamaica when you leave this mission trip? What person are you going to have built a relationship with when you leave from this country? And so that's what a lot of them are going to talk about, is just a kid or a person or somebody that they really connected with and so on and so forth. So,
okay, the person that was Jamaica to me was a little girl named KK. She's up on the screen. And it all began the first day we had VBS. We had a job. We had to go out and gather the kids around from their dorm rooms and kind of bring them all in for VBS. And we were on our way down. I think it was me and Savannah Shatman. And there were like a group of like two or three girls, and they were walking along. Two of them were half blind. One of them, KK, was completely blind. And I kind of had a choice. KK looked a little not normal. She had her eyes. She was born with her eyes completely like shut. They like weren't even there. She had one eye, and it was just still under skin. And the other two, they looked semi-normal. But I had the choice to kind of go after KK or choose one of the little girls who was little cute little girls running around in their skirts. And then there was KK in her shorts who God led me to join KK. And I grabbed her, and right away we kind of bonded. And actually throughout the whole week we had worn like big bracelets to kind of see for the kids who are completely blind. They could feel our bracelets and knew who we were. So the whole time she would just kind of feel my bracelet, and she's like, oh, Maria, that's you. So KK and I bonded throughout the whole week, and I know that she bonded with a lot of the other kids. And then kind of towards the end of the week, it was really cool because we were kind of sitting around the nurse's office, which was near our dorm rooms, and KK was going down to the nurse's office, and I didn't say anything. I wanted to see what she would do, but I went up to her, kind of grabbed her hand, and I was like, hi, KK, and she was like, who is this? She immediately grabbed my wrist, and she felt my bracelet, and she was just looking really down, and right as she grabbed my bracelet, she goes, Maria, and her face just lit up, and it's probably the most amazing thing I've ever felt in my life, and I just know that KK made a huge impact on my life, and I know she did on a lot of the other kids' life, too, so KK is my person. So,
really honest, I didn't want to go on this mission trip. I was terrified. I thought working with the School for the Blind was going to be really difficult, and that was really going to challenge me. And the first day when we had VBS, I was like, I prayed, honestly. I asked God for him not to give me a completely blind child. I was terrified. And what did God do? Little boy up there that's kissing my cheek was the first boy I found, and he didn't talk very much. And at some point, I just started crying because this child couldn't see anything, but he was looking to me for guidance. He wanted me to show him around and for me to help him. And during the songs, they asked us like if we could help them do the motions. He couldn't see anything, but one of the points, the kids were like flying. I don't remember what it was for, but I had his arms up, and he was pretending to fly, and he was just so lost in happiness that it just made my heart melt, and I thanked God for that. I was terrified to speak to any blind child. I didn't know what to do at all, and God led me what I should do in my heart. And after that point, I wasn't scared. That was the first day, and I was like, that's it. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to talk to any children. I don't care what they look like, if they're completely blind, if they're not, if they're rowdy and crazy, or if they're very quiet. And so then I ran into this other girl, I ran into this girl named Tashtika. Tashtika sang like an angel. If you know what angels sing like, in my head, they sing amazing. Because this little girl, I've never met anybody that could sing like this. She was in grade 6, which is really our 7th grade, I think. This girl, we sang a song to her that she had never heard before. The next day, she came up to me singing me my song back in a harmony that me, Maria, Kristen, and Claire could not figure out. This little girl sang with me and Maria and Kristen the entire week. At some point, we ended up doing like a rap sing battle with some of the guys. And it was just so beautiful because, honestly, music brings people together. And, I mean, that's the ministry that I'm involved with. I really enjoy music. And being able to speak to these blind children and sing with them was the most touching thing to my heart. Super excited, and I was just ready for God to work in me, and I prayed, you know, God, whatever you want on this trip, it's yours. Whatever you want me to step out of my comfort zone, you got it. And easier said than done. So we go on this trip, and Maria and KK, the first day I watched them, and I didn't have a bond with anybody that day. I just kind of sat. I didn't stand back and watch, but I was a little intimidated. And the next day, what do you know, Maria comes up to me and sets KK in my lap. And on my face, I was smiling, but in my heart, I was like, Maria, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? And she goes straight from my hair, and I had a braid in, and she goes, you're white. And I go, my initial reaction was to burst out laughing. And she goes, well, what color is your hair? And I go, it's yellow. And she goes, oh, like the sun. And I'm just like, I was just amazed that she knew all that from what people had told her. And she just asked me she's the most adorable person, and I was so blinded by her looks. But once I got to know her, she really just opened my eyes and heart. And so that's part of who Jamaica is to me. And then another person who Jamaica is to me is Janedia, and she was up there earlier. But she was the major's daughter, so she was more fortunate out of anybody there. But she knew all the stories that we had to tell at VBS, but she'd tell me that her mom made her read the Bible, even when she was sick, and she hated it, and all this stuff, and she is somebody I could really communicate through sass. So she is the sassiest person I've ever met in my life, but I could give it back to her, and she took it great, so that was awesome. But part of me, that kind of hurt me, that my mom made me, and she knew the stories, which was awesome, but she didn't have a relationship with God, I don't think. So, you know, I told her, Janedia, we're sisters in Christ, and even though you're thousands of miles away, we still can pray for each other, and we made that promise, so...
Was definitely a little kids, but I feel like I connected more with the adults, like the elderly, just like to hear their stories was really powerful for me. And one, I believe I mentioned to you before, her name was Lydia, an elderly woman actually from Ghana, but she was a missionary in the Caribbean islands, and she ended up in Jamaica. And just honestly, this woman's boldness in her faith, like, really caught me off guard. Like, oh, look, there she is. Yeah, that's Lydia. And she may look very gentle and peaceful, but she's not. She's very, like, loud and boisterous in her faith, and it was just an encouragement to me, because, like, I'm sometimes someone who's more humbled and quicker to back off in situations, but, like, she just, like, went for it. Like, a quote that Savannah and I always laugh at is, we were walking out of the elderly home because she wanted to go to VBS. And she was asking all the other elderly ladies in the home, like, would you want to come with us? And they were all like, no, no. And then there was one lady, her name was Daly, and she kind of wanted to, but she wasn't sure, and she was like, well, I might go. And then Lydia just starts walking out the door, and she looks back, and she goes, I can't force you to serve the Lord. You're going to have to make the decision for yourself. And she stomped out of there and walked off to VBS. And lo and behold, along came Daly. So maybe a different kind of, like, witness and testimony, like being powerful and firm in your faith like that, but it's really challenging to me. And I really, like, Jamaica to me is this woman. As much as she's not from Jamaica, and the other elderly women in the home, just really their hearts for the Lord and their hearts for God. So that's who Jamaica was to me.
Jamaica to me was a lot of things. I'm just going to go through a list because I'm not real good at this. But the first VBS we did a story about David and Goliath. Colby was David and I was Goliath. So, you know, the kids, not many of them can see, some can, but they come up and they touch you and they feel how big you are. And some of the little ones the next day, they say, where's Goliath? Because that's who they recognized me as. And they'd come up and it was just amazing. Just to be, like, their context, like Maria is saying, they touch you, they feel you, that's how they know your name. And a little boy came and sat on my lap, and he says, what's your name? I said, Robbie. He says, Robbie. What's your last name? I said, Dean. He goes, Robbie Dean. Jelly Bean. And then pretty soon he's going, Jelly Bean! He's running around, Jelly Bean! So he's running around the whole place, and so that name kind of stuck too. So the rest of the week, I was either Goliath or Jelly Bean. And all these kids our group, we went through our work projects so fast and did such a good job because we were organized. My daughter did a lot of the VBS organization, but all the kids put such a great effort in. It was just truly amazing that we actually got to do this little fence project that we weren't supposed to do. And you know God's leading you when before your trip you go strip and fix and paint a half mile of fence. And that's what we did at Rinkie's. So we get there, we're painting, we're fixing fences, we're doing a lot of the things that, you know, you really don't see God working all the time until you put two and two together. And that's what he did for our group. And it was an amazing, amazing trip. KK, again, the last day, she comes and sits on my lap and, hi, Goliath, you know, and she wants to feel my head. And she rubs her hands up my arms. I have a scar on my arm. She's asking me, you know, how did you get that scar? And I tell her, and she goes, you want to go see the horses? I'm like, there's no horses here. Oh, yeah, there is. Come on, we'll see. They walk to the edge of the platform, and some of the other pictures, you saw the stage, and she puts her foot there and jumps off. She's totally blind, can't see. I get down with her. She goes, come on, let's run. She takes off running. I'm like, okay. I'm running with her, and about 5-10 feet before the curb, she stops, walks up, steps up the curb. Come on, pulls me down this lane. This is a 30-acre campus with buildings everywhere. She's weaving in and out of buildings. We get there, and we stop, and she goes, do you see the horses? I go, oh, my goodness. There's a little four-bouncy horse thing that has horses on it. And she said, do you see the horses? I said, yeah. She goes, want to ride them? I said, sure. So I look back, and Kristen Stanek's behind me with another little girl that's blind and says, come on, get on. So we all get on there, and I said, hang on real tight. So they get on there, hanging on real tight. I hop off it. I start shaking the heck out of this thing. I'm hanging on. These kids had the biggest smiles and were screaming and laughing and really just enjoying us as a group. And you just learn that not being able to see is an impairment, but it's not a complete disability. These kids are just phenomenal. And but Jamaica, to me, really was some of the adults that we met. Michael had mentioned Lydia, but I met a man named Peter, and he was working in the cafeteria that served us, and he had a smile every day, and I talked to him, and these people make no money, $15 a day, and he's working, he walked 2 miles to his bike, which was down a hill because he couldn't ride it up the hill, so he'd walk down to his bike, ride to work all day, and, you know, he's there serving us, and I'm feeling like, you know, geez, we come here to serve you guys, and you adults are serving us food and taking care of us. And it was really just a blessing to get to know them. And, you know, the people, Lydia and Grace, these older folks, the Spirit of God in them is so strong, like Michael said, they're screaming the Lord's name at every song and every praise and worship. And it was just really amazing trip. And our kids are amazing. I got called a lot of names there. I got called Goliath. I got called Jellybean. I got called Dad because my daughter was there. I got called a father figure. I got called a hard worker and different things like that. But Sue got called Grandma, so that wasn't quite as bad as, I'm not that old yet. But so Jamaica to me was just the entire group of people, and we didn't really get to see a lot of the country because we were on a compound. But the faith there is, like Keith had said, it's struggling in their younger people. And I think their older people just enjoyed our young people so much. And it was just really, truly a blessing to be able to go. Thanks.
To tell you, it was Michael, but he was comparing me to his grandma. And I love him so much, I took that as a great compliment. This group is phenomenal. I know you can see that. You just have to be with them for just no time at all, and you can see how cohesive and how much they really love and care for one another. And they move like amoeba, you know. I mean, one goes and they all go. Somebody has a bonfire, they all go to the bonfire. And that's just how they were in Jamaica. And people stopped us. They stopped us in airports. They stopped us. We were the last day at Duns River Falls. We went to play for a while. And when we left there, we left, there's, as always, an area to shop. So, and there were lots of good things to see there. So, and Keith let the kids go. We had to stay with someone else. But so Keith and I were together, and we keep connecting with the kids. And we went into this little hut, this little don't know, what would you even call it? A shop, I guess, but it was the same size as a master bedroom closet. It was huge as for a closet, but very small for a store. And there was an older man there, and I was looking for something for our grandchildren to take back from Jamaica. And so I was looking at things, and he kept showing me things, and he kept asking me how old the kids were. And then he said to me, "Are you missionaries?" And I thought, well, yes, we are. You know, you think about a missionary being somebody who dedicates their life in Uganda or something, but really we all are. And I was so proud to be a part of this group. And so we completed our sale. We looked at a lot of different things, and we turned to go out the door, and he stopped, grabbed my arm, and he said, "Will you pray for my children?" His own children. "Will you pray for my children?" And Keith said, "Absolutely, let's pray right now." So, wonder of wonders, Keith and I are standing in this little dinky tiny hot shop, and he is praying for this man's four children, and he told us their names and his desires for them, and it's just an opportunity that God puts in your pathway. One of the pictures you saw was of a lady. That's a principal of a it was called the basic school, and they were like maybe four or five, looks like six of them, 6 year olds, some of them. And this lady was the principal. And it's like, that was like herding cats, I'm telling you. They were just, these little kids were just everywhere, and so excited that we were there. And I formed a bond with her, and you don't even know this yet, Keith, but she called me while we were in Maine. And I couldn't understand a word. Her accent's very thick. And then on a voicemail, I couldn't understand a word she said, except that I recognized her voice. So I'm anxious to call her back and see what she thinks. But it was an amazing thing. It's a life-changing experience. And we're already talking about the possibility of doing something as a church, a mission in the future, just kind of batting some ideas around now. But I would really encourage you to think about it. Start saving your money and just think about the opportunity to go, because the service just happens. God just flows right through you. And it's an amazing experience, and it is a gift to go with a group like this.
Yes, I got the name of being the, the alarm clock of the group. Because we always had to get everyone to be someplace at some time, and there was always those stragglers. So the one day, finally, they said, "Call in there." So I called, and they were like, "Oh!" It went through the whole building. I was like, "Oh." So I was the alarm clock for everyone. This was my first mission trip to go on, and Colby's. I was so amazed at what these kids did, what the adults did. I was truly amazed at my son Colby. He was very on our way to the airport. "I don't really want to go to this." I'm like, "Well, just wait and see. Well, he amazed me by jumping in there, and just the kids came to him, and I think he was surprised, because he basically said, you know, little kids don't like me. You know, he just was there, and old people don't like me." And I'm like, "Colby, you can talk to anybody. You just have to do it." Well, he did. He jumped in, and I was amazed. I thought he really grew from the experience, and I know he's looking at me up there like, "Oh, my gosh, why are you talking about me?" But anyways, that was truly amazing to me, just to see him change and just enjoy himself. And he was like, "Thanks for bringing me here. Thanks for making me go. Thanks for, you know, just what I learned." Watching all the kids and just growing, like John, it was just amazing to watch everybody. Everyone was really good. Don't, come on now. Savannah was wonderful. Shane, Michael, Caleb, you guys were all really cool. And I was really proud of all of you. And it was just an experience that I don't know, you can't even explain. It was just that. I mean, it was something I've never experienced, and I would do it again. I would do it again, especially with this group. I think we had a good time. All right, I'm done.
I just wanted to explain a couple of things that you did see in the video and a couple other things, little stories that you wouldn't maybe have heard from some of the kids. First of all, in the video, there was a picture of all the guys standing in the swimming pool wearing T-shirts, all matching, said Modest Gentleman. So I got to explain that to you just a little bit. I was unaware of this. We got approached when it was time to go swimming by Michael, and he said, you know, the guys' group decided that because, you know, the regulations for the ladies were that they had to wear shorts or a T-shirt or something like that, if they didn't have a full-piece bathing suit and things of that nature, the guy said, we want to do something to associate with them and to show them, you know, that we're willing to do the same. So they went out and all bought matching T-shirts to go swimming in. And so Michael says, here's your T-shirt. He says, here's one for Rob. So there you go. And they bought us T-shirts just for that occasion. So I thought that was really cool that they did that in and of themselves without really any prompting from us. The other thing that you saw in the video, it said that they were experiencing blindness. And normally they would wait until Wednesday to do this. They did it on Tuesday night with us. And they had us walk from where we were staying on the compound to the stage area where we did VBS, which is probably a grand total of maybe 500 or 600 feet, 700 feet, something like that. But it bobs and weaves through all kinds of different things and so on and so forth. And I got to be one of the people that didn't have a blindfold, so I could take pictures and all that kind of fun stuff. But everybody else had to feel their way all the way to get to the stage area. And then when we got to the stage area, we sat there and we worshiped with our blindfolds on for the first couple of songs. And I actually thought about asking you all to bring a blindfold with you and do that today during worship. Because I'll tell you something, while those of us who didn't have blindfolds on, I brought blindfolds for us when we got to the stage. We all put them on, and a few people, more than a few people, said, you know, having those blindfolds on really kind of heightened our sense of worship. And I think because you're not looking around, you're not seeing other people, you're not worried about what other people are thinking, you're just focused on the words and on God. And it was really quite awesome. So it was an opportunity for us to kind of experience what the kids go through in walking just even that little bit, but they lived it that way on a regular basis. I'll say that our group tends to be a group that likes to serve God based on doing physical things, physical acts of labor, and we said that all before we left, and so I was a little concerned, especially for our guys, because our guys really tend to be that way. They like to serve God by, you know, let me go knock down a house or do something like that, and I'm like, this is going to be a very relational trip. So I was very proud of our guys, of John, of Eric, watching them play with kids, have kids on their shoulders, running around, doing all kinds of stuff like that. That was just absolutely awesome. And Colby, up in the shelf there, told you I was going to talk about you since you're not down. He was awesome. He, you know, I was a little concerned about him before he left because I was like, okay, how's he going to fit into the group? How's everything going to go and all that kind of stuff? And I'll tell you what, the first day at that little basic school where we were doing devotions in the morning, he had two little kids that just attached themselves to him and just loved on him and so on and so forth. And then it was the next day, I think, when we returned to do devotions again, these two little kids come blasting out the door, and they see him, and their faces light up, and they come running straight to him, and he was thrilled to death with all that. So that was just so cool watching him go through some of those experiences. Two other little things I'll tell you, and then we'll get to the message over here, because Caleb's going to come down front and do that. First of all, you guys should be proud of your whole group. The guy who led our trip, his name was Ryan, and he told us basically he just how surprised he was how self-directed we all were. When we told the kids, hey, go do this, they went and did it, you know. And I guess the group right before us, he kind of had to babysit quite a bit and worry about where they were going to be and what they were doing and so on and so forth. Didn't have to do that with us. he said, hey, here's your group, go to it, and we did it. And it was actually a blessing for him. I think both Rob and I had this kind of conversation with him. We said, you know what? We don't need you around here the whole time. So if we can be a blessing to you, and what you don't know is his wife is there and his two kids are there, 3 years old, little Braddock, and Mayanna, 10 months old. And they're all in Jamaica with him. And so we looked at him and said, dude, if you can go spend more time with your family, go spend time with your family. You do not need to babysit us. So we got to be a blessing to the guy who's leading our trip, just simply because of our organization and readiness and preparedness for the trip. But last story I'll tell you is about another story about KK before we let Caleb come up. One day I was standing up on the stage and I looked down and KK is pulling on Savannah Chapman's hair and just about literally pulling her hair out. And so I jump off the stage and go running over there to check on what's going on. And Savannah says, I'm fine, it's okay. And so I go running back up to the stage and doing whatever I was doing. Turn around about 5 minutes later, I look back and Savannah is just crying her eyes out. And that's not typical for Savannah. So I go running over there again to try and find out what's going on. She's holding KK at that time and everything's looking fine, but she's crying her eyes out. And so I come up there, and I think Lynn came, and a couple other people came, and Savannah couldn't hardly talk. So we just had to kind of pass KK off. I think to Lynn, took KK for a little bit. And so I sat down next to Savannah and asked her, I said, okay, what's wrong? Are you okay? She's like, no, I'm fine. And she said, KK was scared of a ball. These little boys were kicking a ball around, and it was hitting against the wall. And because she couldn't see the ball, she was terrified of that, and because she was terrified, she started pulling on Savannah's hair. When KK came back to Savannah and was sitting in her lap, she apologized to Savannah for being so afraid and pulling on her hair. And that just broke Savannah's heart, that this poor little girl is scared of what should be a little play object, something that everybody would enjoy. And that was just a moment, and I told Savannah that, like, this is a God moment. This is God speaking to you and breaking your heart for these folks and these kids in particular for what they go through, and now you're beginning to understand all the more of what God is really doing in your life and in their lives. So that's all I'm going to say. We'll turn this over to Caleb, who's got a message for us and a little bit of testimony. And
well, my sermon is about lighting the fire, and apparently all the kids did that there. And I just want to go through a couple verses and stuff about it. We could see the first acts of the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1, verse 2, where it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Thereafter, we see the Holy Spirit elsewhere. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, serving as a living, life-giving spirit, a teacher, and a guide to us. We also see the Holy Spirit acting differently in the Old Testament than it does in the New Testament, by resting on people such as David and Judges and Saul. And if you look in the New Testament, we can see where Jesus describes the Holy Spirit a little in John 16:12-15. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will not tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All the belongings of the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known. With this said, I'd like to show you a video of an interpretation of the Holy Spirit.
bruised and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Yeah. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sins, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle.
Little explanation about that is on the mission trip, the last night we were there, our leader, Ryan, he did almost the same thing that we did, but he did it with the song, This Little Light of Mine. He had a tea candle, or a tea light, and he took a clothes hanger and rags and set it on fire, and he was talking about how we need to not just have a little light and let it grow into a big light and let it shine. And me and Michael were trying to figure out how to demonstrate this and make it our own way. And I really didn't know what to do because I didn't know what to use for a torch or anything. And Ralph Keitch's generosity, he made us a home torch, and it was the first time we tried to light it, it didn't light, which was kind of the same thing that happened to Ryan. And so he put a bit different stuff on there. And what this is trying to show is God the Father lights the fire inside us, and we have to let it burn bright. But what seems to happen is that the ways of the world, or the foolish things we do, or the fact we try to conform to the ways of the world. But we should not do that. We should stop all these things and light a bigger fire within us, and let it shine for the whole world to see. And well, I'm pretty sure you all know the song, This Little Light of Mine. But I want to break it down a little bit for you. It says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And it keeps on going and it says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Are we going to let the devil blow it out? And in response, you say no. And the next verse is, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Are we going to hide it under a bushel? And you say no. These things are showing that you're not going to hide the light of Jesus Christ, and you're going to show it to everyone in the world. But what you need to do, instead of having just a little light, you need to take something like a torch, or, for instance, the Spirit of God, and make it shine brighter and show it to the whole world. In Luke 8:16, it says, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar or put it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. In the Bible, Jesus says more than once that he is the light of the world. Therefore, we need to let the world around us see him. We cannot fall victim to all the world's ways. There is no sense in letting the world make us hide the light, but not be able to show Christ in us. For Jesus calls us to be his disciples, and only way we can be his disciples is if we can show the light of the world, and the light of Jesus Christ. If you have a lit torch, and you stand by somebody with a candle or a lit torch, this is a metaphor, I think you call it, for you gotta plant the seed of the Holy Spirit in the person before you can let it grow and let it shine really bright. So you're not gonna automatically be able to light the torch right away. Some people look at their faith and think they only have a little candle lit, but it could be a torch lit and they could not even notice it, and it can rub off on you, and you can reflect back to them on how strong their spirit is when they show it to you. Or some other people think the other way, that they have a torch lit, but it's just a little candle. In Jamaica, while we were there, there was this one kid that I talked to each and every day. His name was Ami, and he was in the first grade, and he was a smart little kid. He was, if you look at him, you couldn't even tell that he was totally blind. He acted like there was nothing wrong with him, and he acted a lot better than some of the normal kids, too. He would come, or the first day I met him, I asked him, "What are your favorite songs?" Because I knew that music was a big thing there. He told me three songs, and they were all Christian songs. He had This Is the Land, which was his favorite song that he sung the whole song to me. And every day after the first day, he sang every song to me and always started off, This Is the Land. And then one day I asked him to sing to Dorita, but he was very stubborn and would not do it. So I felt kind of special that he would only sing towards me. This little kid, you could tell how much of the Holy Spirit was growing in him and how much that he loved Jesus and his passion for Christ. And even though he was just 7 years old, he made my light burn stronger and probably lit my torch a little more. And it just affected me a lot, and it made me really want to go into ministry. And it's just some things that people can do that light your fire can be something like showing kindness or something really simple, like saying good morning with a smile or giving you a hug when you really need it. Now, I don't want you to take nothing from this, so I want you to think to yourself, what gift has God given me that I can show his lights of the world and spread love and peace and joy that he brings to everyone? And then I want you to go out and spread his word and his light.